Welcome to the What Wild Women Want podcast. I'm Rachel Rose, your personal, certified, feminine awakening coach, energy healer, and intuitive reader. This is a weekly show where women are empowered to unapologetically activate their goddess mode and reclaim their birthright to love, freedom, happiness, and abundance. This is a shrinking violet free zone, guys. Get ready for raw, open, and absolutely necessary conversations to supercharge your self-love journey. I love you. You are worth it. Let's get started. Welcome back to the What Wild Women Want podcast, and I'm your host, Rachel Rose. I remember growing up and religion being a huge part of my identity. This came mainly from my family, who were and mostly still are Jehovah's Witnesses. I remember the obligatory Bible studies and Sunday service attendance being as normal as brushing my teeth. I remember that I started to question religion in general when I was maybe 15 or 16. I had asked questions that nobody could give me an answer to, which made me wonder even more. I remember finally deciding at 18 that I was going to connect with the divine in my own way, and that hopefully me being a good person would be good enough. I then came to discover yoga, meditation, chakras, etc., and the rest is history. As much as I respect all religions, being religious didn't fill me up as much as spirituality did and still does today. Many people nowadays are starting to think in a similar way as I did, either incorporating spirituality into the religion or choosing spirituality entirely. My next guest today is no stranger to this. We have with us Dr. Gillian Davis, also known as Dr. G, who is a board-certified massage therapist and educator. She also holds credentials in various modes of natural healing, to include aromatherapy, herbology, alkaline nutrition, and Reiki. She's also currently training in Ayurvedic medicine. She's a relationship guide and prana coach, and she's originally from Guyana and migrated to the States in 1997. Gillian now uses her platforms to promote the best of Caribbean values, which encourages good parenting, relationships, ascension, nation building, and affluence. Her most inspirational quote is, "Return to the basics, live abundantly." Welcome, Gillian.
Thank you so very much, Rachel, and I'm so happy to be on your show.
Thank you so much for coming. I know we've had quite a bit of a chat offline, and we were chatting leading up to this episode, so excited to finally get you here to do this recording. So we've dived into so much. I wish you guys were even here to listen to us, because we were bouncing off each other. I looked at the time, I thought, yeah, we're never going to get this done because we've got so much in common and so much to cover. So, you know, Gillian, we spoke about so much, but why don't you take us all the way back to your journey and how you shifted from being a religious person to a spiritual one?
Thank you. Well, I remember starting to go to church when I was about 5 years old, and my parents would just send me to church, as many parents did in Guyana. I went on and off, then around 12 years old, I was asked if I wanted to trust Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. So I went through that whole process, because that was something that was being pressed hard on us at a certain age in my village. Then, you know, I did it. You know, I did see a notable difference in my life, because I had someone else to, I'm going to say in quotes, believe in, or something else mm-hmm. that seemed greater than myself. So I went with that. I noticed that when serious struggles hit me, I was just there on my own, though. It was just me having to make that decision. Many of those decisions I did very well with. Some of them I wish I could go back in time. And with the wisdom that I have now, that knows that the power was within me, and I had the power to say yes or no, to not wait for someone else to do that for me. So fast forward up until I was 20 29 years old. I remember I'd been trying so hard to be a good Christian, a good girl, a good wife, a good mother. And I had just moved into Atlanta, Georgia, the deep south. And I was going through a lot. And I was able to see clearly people who were going to church, and that is considered the Bible Belt, you know. I was able to see clearly that what was being spoken of in church was not what people practiced. But me personally, wanting to be good, I personally was trying to live by those parameters. But for the most part, a lot of people around me were not. I ended up facing racism, and I faced a lot of being told in the church, because the church was predominantly white. The place I worked in was predominantly white. But it was such an extreme situation that forced me to look within. And that situation came about, telling me my dreams were bad. Dreams come from the devil. They don't come from God. Dreams, mind you, that would tell me what, that predicted what was going to happen. And then days later, it played out. There I was thinking, in addition to the racism, there I was thinking, well, maybe I'm crazy. I've lost my mind and wanting to take my own life. And one night, I literally heard a voice that said to me, you have to make a choice right now. Are you going to believe what you're experiencing? Are you going to need someone else to tell you how to live? And I just whispered, I'm going to believe. And that was the moment that I changed from religion to spirituality. I literally remember when it happened. And since then, I've allowed myself to be free. I write my dreams down. I live by them. I've developed a closer walk with the divine within me, with my ancestors, otherwise referred to as angels, but they are very real. There are ups and downs, but it's all good. And that's a little of how I came upon this journey.
Wow. I'm just astonished at, you know, I know we were talking about how your experience wasn't positive, but I had no idea to what extent. And I know we were talking about when it comes to religion, there are times where us who are more on the spiritual side, we come across that judgment of what you're doing is evil, and anything that comes or doesn't come, I should say, from a holy book can't be counted. It's something, you know, of the occult. So what was your family's reaction? Because if yours was anything like mine, like, they were very much embedded in religion, and that was their bedrock, that was their foundation. So how was that, navigating this new spiritual world on your own and not having that backing?
Well, difficult. For years, I had done it internally and didn't tell anyone. And when you are living like that and you're not telling anyone what's going on inside of you, you're going to have times when you yourself even forget your path, because you have not told anyone. There's no accountability. You haven't bounced that word to a wall, or you haven't bounced it outside of yourself. So, so I experienced physical things because I was disobedient to that spiritual guidance sometimes. So I could tell you from that personally. And the last one was when I had to lie in a hospital room because I had just not been listening. And so there I was. And that was when it was, you know, on this journey, you're going to wake up sometime, then you're going to fall back asleep sometime. And that comes from not telling anyone that you have made the switch. When I did start speaking, Ranga, when I was 30, it was like a year later, I had started speaking about it. And then my husband thought I was just a rebelling wife. I had just flipped. Something happened. And since you turned 30, it happened, because I started to ask questions like, what about me? Because the church teaches that the man is always right and that your body belongs to him. and that you function at your husband's beck and call. And a lot of religions teach that. It's true.
Yep.
Then when I told my mother, who held at the time a strong hold over my mind, I so wanted to be a good daughter and a good child. She said, well, what kind of obia you're dealing with now? What is this evil?
Yes.
Because apparently their experiences with spiritual things came from a point of don't deal with that. That is fearful. Only those people that wear those white things deal with that. Those Jordan Knights, as it's called in my country, Guyana. Don't deal with those things, those people, it's going to destroy you. It's going to make you crazy. So I had to deal with that for a very, very long time until I learned that you just have to shut your mouth and don't say anything, but continue. Mm-hmm. Yes, tell them you are on a spiritual walk and you believe it with your whole heart. But then don't say too much. Just let them see your life. Now that they've seen my life, for the most part, my husband is very respectful. I say for the most part. My mother is very respectful for the most part, because she understands that if you are disrespectful to me, I will leave you alone. I will literally not have much to say, because now you are disrespecting me. Because one thing I've come up with lately is that the greatest sin that you can do to a person is to take them away from themselves. You want that person to be you or to be someone else. You have taken them away from them, their own self. You have removed their soul out of them and put it in a jar. And they're now walking like a zombie because they're not themselves. And so that is a thing.
That's very powerful, I think.
Yes. I feel like if I had a family who were more in touch with their spirit, with ancestral spirituality, and I'm not talking about nothing evil, because, yes, there are people who use spirituality for the wrong thing. And with that, I will say that some people use Islamic spirituality in the wrong way, abuse of power. Some people use Christianity abusively, and they think they're not, but they are, including taking someone away from their identity. Now, if someone is a murderer and their family member want them to face justice at the hands of the law, that's different. Or you've abused a child and you've harmed someone in some way and your parents are trying to seek justice, no problem. But if someone have an altar that they pray at, or if they do yoga, or they're meditating, or they're working with their crystals or whatever, that's that person. That is their walk. Why would you want to take them away from their walk and they're not harming anyone? So that has been interesting to me.
I think what you mentioned about, you know, taking someone away from what, you know, what I believe to be their belief system, if you take the bottom or you take the ground away from someone's feet and they have nothing to fall on, that is such a selfish thing for people to do. Yes. You know, that's my foundation. It works for me. So why would you try and strip that away from someone and deny their reality? It's so dangerous to do. But yeah, and interesting that you touched upon religion being weaponized as well. I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah, that can happen. So when you were, you know, only half out of the spiritual closet, they knew, your family knew that you were doing things that were more on the spiritual side and you would just continue on this path. What kind of things did you experience that you could definitely say were completely different from your experience when you were more religious?
Well, I would get sick. I had one surgery after another surgery. Because you see, a person like us, this is not just we're a bit wild and we're a bit different. because of just a spiritual change. No, you are here to do a serious job. That's why you were literally handprint for the job, picked, chosen, vetted, and sent here. Each soul is a treasure and comes with a purpose. But we who are not conformists are created for times where there's serious things going on and people need someone to look to who is genuine. And so if you are forsaking your divine task, you are going to end up sick for no reason or with accidents for no reason. And those are the kind of things that were happening to me. And I absolutely know it was spiritual, because when I was in the hospital bed, I literally saw something spiritual. And when I came home and I told my husband and my mother, they both thought it was the medication. Only it wasn't. It wasn't the medication. I saw something and I got a message that told me what I needed to do differently. And I saw for real that the spiritual side, or the side which is not seen with the naked eyes, is very, very real. And and we have work to do here. And we were sent here, handpicked here to do. That's why we're a little different. And so those are the things that were happening to me. Now, once I let my family know that, hey, I have dreams and they come true, I can walk into a room and I can see what's happening with people that they cannot see. And it's true. I can. It's not reading minds. Because people say you can read minds or you can know. But there are things.
You're clairvoyant.
Clairvoyant. People have different gifts. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. It reminds me of like watching Harry Potter, and all of those kids have a different specialty. But I'm not specifically, I'm not telling anybody go and watch anything. I'm saying that what I'm saying to you is real. That's fiction, but it's based on reality, because they are people with gifts and the gifts are different. And one of my gifts is the ability to see beyond what you're trying to show me. So because of that, my whole life is now balanced. It's in harmony. There is one area I'm still struggling in, and I can share that when you ask. Mm-hmm. But it's now in harmony. Many of my family I've had to separate from my life. That has changed, because now that I have told you that what I'm doing is very real and I trust it more than you, you have to go. And when I have told you, okay, now you have hurt me all these years. You have hurt me. I'm always telling me that what I said was of no value. You have hurt me. Please do not do it anymore. I've made people upset because I simply say, you have hurt me. Don't do it anymore. Now they think it's my PhD talking. That's what they say. Oh, because you're so educated. Now you want to tell us. Maybe it is. But the point of the matter is that what I have, I'm saying to you is valid. This is how I'm explaining that I have changed and my life has changed and it has become more harmonious. I've become a more simple person that go about life very, very simply. And I am living the abundant life now.
So I know when people talk about being on this spiritual journey, a word that comes up a lot is a sense of loneliness. Can you resonate with that at any part of your journey that you felt a little bit lonely?
Yes. Even now, I feel lonely sometimes because, and I need to separate physical loneliness from spiritual loneliness, because in spiritually or metaphysically, I am not lonely. I'm always surrounded by my board of directors, my my spirit guides. But physically, you cannot go out and do the things you used to. You cannot open your mouth and speak freely because you realize that is wrong, because you could be preventing someone from going through their specific path that they need to go through. Now you are intercepting that path by telling them something that you were not permitted to speak. Finally, it's lonely because certain people, if you tell them something, they will say, you have lost your mind, this is not true. And then a few months later, you're watching that it was true. It was very true.
Yep.
And so you realize
exactly.
You have to respect other people's commitment too, because some people are very committed to a specific religion. And just like how you didn't want them to interrupt your path, you have to show them the same level of respect. Like, okay, I'm not gonna mess with you because that is your system. I don't know what that has gotten you through. Just like how nobody knew what this got me through. So I have actually become much more understanding now.
Yes.
And much quieter. Much quieter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There was something actually, it's funny you say quieter, because I remember reading, I think it was like a Buddhist quote, and they said, I can't remember it word for word, but it's basically like the loudest person in the room is the most unconscious. Or the quietest person 100%. In the room is, you know, something like that, you know, right? And I think whilst we do this, when we do this work, we realize that actually when we're in a group of people and the person who's la 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 la, or if you're around a culture that's very much that, you're thinking, when do you have time to just think and process and take things in? Like, that's definitely something that's come up for me. And I've realized, you know, these people are the ones that, they're always on the go. They hate sitting still. They don't want to be with themselves. They're very much trying to escape themselves all of the time. So it's interesting that you said, yeah, you got more quieter as you got deeper.
Very true.
Now, I know you mentioned metaphysics. Yes. So I know that you've got a PhD in that. So please tell us how you incorporate all of the knowledge that you gained from your PhD and your education before that into the work that you do with your audience now.
Thank you. So I am a licensed massage therapist and a Reiki practitioner. And when I work with people physically, it really would touch their heart and touch their spirit. And they would open up and say things to me. And it would say things that you didn't feel equipped. I didn't feel equipped to sometimes handle it because I know what my spirit guides would tell me. But I wanted confirmation. Many of us go through that. When I got the go, like, yes, you do need to go and understand this from a human mind's perspective. So I did that. And I learned how the mind works through connecting psychology to spirituality. You connect psychology to spirituality, to nature, to how nature works. And you find that is one common thread. And so that is what metaphysics is. It's helping you to understand how life works, how nature really works. The physical, in addition to the spiritual, it is the metaphysical. Mm-hmm. What is the spiritual essence or the metaphysical essence behind the spirit, because behind the physical? Because what happens in the physical is a reaction based on what happened behind the scenes or in the metaphysical. So that's what I studied so that I can actually know what I was saying when I am counseling people. So with that, I can work with people individually, and I can also help to build teams, families, churches, any group that you can think of, any business, any organization of any size. Now, will a church group come to me? Probably they will not. They'll say, we have it all figured out. So the work I do, it's not for people who have it all figured out, but for those who feel like there's something they need to figure out.
Right. I love it. I love your mission. And I know, like, we were talking about the book you wrote as well, called Unchained Child of the Most High God. I love that powerful, potent title. So talk to us a bit about that book that you wrote.
Well, starting from the title, I wanted everyone to see the Christ in them. Like, if you see the book, you're going to see a cave looking like Jesus came out of the cave, like they've taught us. But those things have very deep meaning. And that's all of us. That story is just a me. That story resonates on a very deep level. All of us are put in that cave that we need to come out of. But on the book cover is this person that is now out of the cave that has a Roman soldier suit on with a sword in it. You are an unchained child of the Most High God, known by so many different names. It's not just one name. Our human mind cannot fully comprehend the one who stringed the stars in the sky and formed the earth and made all of us as microscopic representatives of the macroscopic universe. We cannot fully comprehend all of that. So our little one word that we call this creator, we are not right in judging different people like, no, it's this name. No, it's that name. No, it's this name. No, this is what he meant for you and you and you and you. And so this book is about me coming out of the trap that I felt I was in religion. Because I still go to church. I go to church. Mm. My husband is he's a Christian. And he's Christian. And I go to church with my husband because that is the compromise that we have had to make. You have to make compromises sometimes. But in my mind and in my heart, I am a spiritual being living and having a physical existence. And that's who we are. Yes. We were sent here for a purpose. And so the book starts with every soul was created with a treasure and a purpose. That is the first line of the book. And it walks you through my journey from childhood to adulthood and challenges that I had to go through and how I was able to overcome them. And it gives you the strength to journal in after each chapter to show how you each can go through them too. If you are crossing over from more religious, doing an action to please others, to spiritual, understanding that you are a divine being with an individual purpose and destiny.
Wow. That's such a powerful book. How can anyone listening get their hands on it?
Well, it is on Amazon, and I will give the link to you if I can add the link.
Of course you can. I'll drop it in the show notes.
Yes, I can share. I can share that. My mission currently, as you read that book, you will see the path that I went through from. Today, my message is called, now that I've told you you're an unchained child of the Most High God, my message is now good prana. Now, a few years ago, I know we've all heard prana, 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 prana. I heard it. Other people heard it too. Prana is the life force. That life force is in the air. It's in the water. It's in the food. It's in our thoughts, our words. It's everywhere. And it's given to everyone freely, including the murderers and those people who we say are bad, that got their own judgment and their own karma waiting for them. Right? I'm using people who take the life of others a lot as an example, because we usually say that that is the greatest sin. So I'm using that as an extreme, but I'm saying everybody is going through different things and doing different things, and everyone has a karmic price that they will pay for their actions. That being said, everyone is responsible for preserving this life force with prana in capital letters, good good prana, good parenting, good relationships, good ascension, good nation building, and good affluence. That is our birthright. But the most important part is a most important one is ascension. You should be showing ascension in all aspects of your life. Now, the life force can be used for good. It can be used for bad. In spirituality, you're told there's no such thing as bad. I know that in everything, there's extremes.
Spectrum.
Whatever you want to call it, bad, evil, I don't know. But there is a spectrum. And there's one side that's very destructive and tear down-ish. And there's another side that's very uplifting and build up-ish. You can use it for the building up part or the tearing down. My purpose in life is to share the building up. We can build up this life force that was given to us freely. We can build it up around us and have our own personal zen and our own personal abundant life through good parenting, good relationships, good ascension, good nation building and affluence, good prana. And that's my personal philosophy that I'm sharing these days.
Wow, that was so powerful. And I loved how you brought up good prana, because I know you've got a podcast that's got a very similar name that you've launched. So talk to us about that podcast show as well, so we know where and when we can get all of those juicy tips.
Yes, I've launched it a few months ago. It is on YouTube, titled The Good Prana Show. And I'm coming to you very realistically. I'm coming to you different. I'm that oddball, which all of us probably can attest to being the odd one out, because we are leaders. We came here to not conform. That's the whole point. You're not supposed to fit in.
That's it.
So that's being said, my show, I'm not going to be wearing all the fanciest makeup, all the fanciest hairstyles. You know, every once in a while, I'll change it up. But my message is going to be potent. And we need to revolutionize, I hope I said that word correctly, our life and stop waiting for somebody else to come on a horse or whatever, camel, whatever, and do it for us. We have to heal ourselves. We have to heal our communities and we have to heal this planet. And when I was growing up, I was given a lot of gems from my great-grandmother and my grandmother. I hung out a lot with the older people. And the Good Prana Show is to incorporate all those teachings as a West Indian, from a West Indian point of view, into how we can live the abundant life right now. And it's not about wealth. But one of the letters in prana is affluence. Wealth is good. But wealth is not just money. Wealth is starting in the mind. You have to be wealthy in your mind first. Wealthy in your mind, wealthy in how you eat. I will bring in a chef and have him, you know, discuss from the food perspective. I'll bring in someone from the financial world to share about that aspect as well. So that's all about.
I'm really excited to actually dive in and have a look at your podcast, because just from this session with you, I'm just so sucked in and I'm just like, can we just stay here forever? Oh, you know, so like, I'll come to Georgia and we can hang out. I love your energy. It's really delicious and really good to be in your energy. So
thank you.
I just wanted to ask if you can let our audience know where they can find you on social media. Where do you live?
Well, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. And you can find me very simply as Dr. Jillian Davis. You can find me on Facebook as Dr. Jillian Davis. You can find me on, and I'm just going to say this, I'm a very humble person. It's not easy for me to refer at my credential as Dr. Jillian Davis. I just want to say this in case there's someone of you that's going to say, why is she got, yes, but spiritually, again, I rely on my spiritual guidance, which has guided me to understand you must recognize your credentials. You worked for it.
Yes.
You earned it.
Exactly.
And if you don't, Then you need to check into what is causing you to feel like I'm not being humble if I recognize my credential. I'm being haughty. I'm feeling like I have arrived. Where did that thought come from? Either a spiritual organization or a family member.
Yes.
Or someone very close to you, implant that in your mind. So that's something you need to empty out and bury somewhere and ask the creator to transmute it into something good. Because this lie that we've been told that we should not recognize ourselves is just a terrible, terrible lie. It's terrible. So anyway, you can find me on Facebook as Dr. Jillian Davis, all lowercase, regular letters.
Perfect.
The DR will be attached to the Jillian. On Instagram, of course, all connected, Dr. Jillian Davis. And my name is spelled with a lowercase, with a G instead of a J. A lot of people get it confused. So Dr. Jillian Davis on Instagram. And if you type in The Good Prana Show on YouTube, you'll find me as well.
Yes, definitely. Guys, I'll drop all the stuff in the show notes so you can go and stalk Jillian, go and soak up her wisdom drops, because as you can already tell, this is someone who's got such a wealth of knowledge. So thank you so much for coming. And as I promised you, I've got one of my weird and wonderful questions. So now I know you're from Guyana. I know you love your soca. So if you had to be stuck on a desert island with one of these soca artists, only one, can only listen to their music for the rest of your life, who would you choose? Michelle Montana or Bungie Garland?
That would be a tough choice because, you know, we grew up on all of those artists. But my favorite I would love to be stuck with is Michelle Montana. I love the way his music has evolved. Plus, his music is always just so powerful, but I love what he has done in 2021. 2021, I love what happened.
And that is all we have time for today, guys. If you love this episode, take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram and Facebook stories. I am at The Healing Rose Holistics. Feel free to send me a DM. Love you. Let me know what you liked about this episode and let me know what you want to see more of. Have a good one.